are broadcasting live from the Women for Climate Conference at Columbia University, Low Library, at the City of New York. And we are also expecting a press conference scheduled by Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen following the conclusion of a two-day FOMC meeting, at which it is widely expected the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates 25 basis points. Here to tell us more, Narayana Kocherlakota, a Bloomberg View columnist, also happens to just be the former president of the Minneapolis Federal Reserve. Narayana Kocherlakota, thank you very much for being with us. I want you to just begin maybe by describing what is it like to sit at the table at these meetings. And maybe you can tell us if you've ever been to any of them on a virtual basis, like via video, because that's the sort of essence of one of your columns that I want to bring up.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on, Tim. The regular meetings are held in Washington. We all sit around a large, one of the biggest tables you'll ever see in your life, and try to hash through the policy and economic issues at the time to get to a good decision. People are usually reading prepared remarks that they've put together with the help of their staff. But I think
Is there a specific order?
The order is usually the chair goes last in the two different go-rounds that we have. So there's a discussion of the economy where the chair will go last, and then the chair typically goes last in the discussion of what's going to be done with policy. But other than that, it's pretty flexible. People will go in different orders depending on where they want to be, and it's the secretary of the committee will hash it out. It's nothing really predetermined there. On the video conferences, those are held on a more ad hoc basis. Sometimes for emergencies that come up during the course of in the regular scheduled meetings, but sometimes just because the committee wants to do a deeper dive into questions before coming together. And I always found those very useful when I was on the committee. The thing is, you can't get everyone to Washington on a ad hoc basis, but so then you'll end up doing things by video conference.
You know, Narayana, I was noticing that you wrote to us ahead of this that you would be against the Fed raising rates by a quarter of a percentage point today. Why?
Yeah, so I have thanks for the question. I think I have a couple of reasons where I'd be pretty cautious about raising rates at this time. So one is that I continue to think there's more slack in labor markets than I think most members of the FOMC do. And the reason I say that is we continue to see very strong employment growth. Most economists think that over the longer run, employment growth has to settle down at something in the low hundreds per month. 100,000 per month, as opposed to the numbers we've been seeing, which are really closer to 200. And so, given that we've seen that kind of fast employment growth without seeing high inflationary pressures or wage pressures, that's really a strong signal that we have still a lot of slack left in labor markets. And the committee should be really doing what it can to facilitate that taking up of that slack by the economy.
Well, but Narayana, aren't you a little bit concerned about the incredible enthusiasm that we've seen in stock markets and in junk bond markets and other areas that, you know, frankly, have stemmed from this low rate environment? I mean, isn't it the Fed's responsibility to try to inject some discipline into markets that may not otherwise be there?
I don't see that. I never saw that as the Fed's job. It's not the job that's mandated by Congress. The job is to promote maximum employment and promote price stability. If there are concerns on the financial side, the Dodd-Frank introduced a number of changes in the regulatory system. The Fed has responsibility those through the Board of Governors. If the Fed is worried about financial institutions taking on too much risk, they have a number of tools at their disposal through their regulatory function where they can start to bring pressure to bear on those institutions. It's not – monetary policy is just way too blunt and, frankly, just too ineffective a tool to be used in that kind of disciplining device.
Can you tell us a little bit about the process of selecting new presidents of the Board of Governors as well as those that sit on the committee? Because I believe we're going to get a new president in the Atlanta Fed. But then the president also has some appointments that could reshape the Federal Reserve.
Right. We just got announced this week that there was a new president for the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta replacing retiring Dennis Lockhart.
Right.
Rafael Bostic is going to be replace Dennis. And that appointment process is that the board of directors and a subset of the board of directors, those who are not bankers in Atlanta, appoint Mr. Bostic subject to the approval of the board of governors in Washington. And I think it's notable that Mr. Bostic brings a great range of experiences both in the public sector and in academe. And he is the first African American to be a president of a Reserve Bank in the history of the Federal Reserve. So I think a lot of good things coming from this this appointment.
Narayana, I want to. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to quickly say about the governor appointments. I think of as being potentially much more consequential because the governors in Washington always vote on every FOMC decision, and they have this larger regulatory function I alluded to earlier. Dan Trullo, has announced he's going to step away from the Board of Governors in early April. That means there's going to be three openings for President Trump to fill, probably in short order. And so that could give him it gives him the opportunity to have a lot of influence over the Board of Governors.
So, Narayana, just to push back a little bit about your idea that it would be a mistake for the Fed to hike a quarter percentage point. I mean, isn't the market sort of acceptance of this, pricing it in without a big disruption, basically a tacit acknowledgement that it's the right thing to do?
Markets are sometimes overly enthusiastic about economic events, and sometimes they're not as enthusiastic as you would like. You don't make monetary policy based on what the stock market's doing. I think you make monetary policy based on how you see the economy evolving. I continue to see that there is the opportunity for strong growth in America without having inflationary pressures, and the Fed should be doing what it can, I think, to facilitate that. That's its job, is to promote maximum employment as long as that doesn't prove a danger to price stability.
Thank you so much for joining us. It was really a pleasure to speak with you. Narayana Kotra-Lakota, Bloomberg View columnist, professor of economics at the University of Rochester, and, of course, former Minneapolis Fed president.